Today, Shir's Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the last word on the line, Sanhedri Gedoyla Haisa. And the Mishnah continues to say that the large Sanhedrin, which was in the Lishkas HaGazes, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was Shel Shivim Ve'echad, it was 71. Shenemar, we learned this from a pasuk when Hashem said to Moshe, Asvali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, gather together 70 of the elders of Yisrael. And the Gemara comments, we found out in the Mishnah, that Moshe al Gabayan, that Moshe was on top of the 70, so it was 70 plus Moshe equals 71. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this, and Rabbi Yehuda says Shivim, that there's only 70. And now the Gemara wants to know, what is the basis for this machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rav Yehuda? Says the Gemara, my time, the Rabbanan, the Amri, Moshe Gabein. Why did the Rabbanan hold that Moshe was part of the Sanhedrin and he was on top of them? As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that as the Yad Ramah explains, that he was not actually part of the Sanhedrin. He presided over them. This L'chair is similar to what we learned yesterday in the Taisus on this Amud Divrei HaMaskel Echad Memuna Al Kulon, third Taisus from the bottom of the Amud, where Taisus brought up Pshat, not like Rashi, that there was one Sanhedrin Gedoyla that was on top of all the other Bati Dinim, but rather Taisus Pshat is that there was Echad Memun Al Kulon, who Muflish of a Bezdin, he was the Av Bezdin, and every Bezdin had an Av Bezdin, and Taisus says, Venira Deloy Hayami Cheshbin Sanhedrin, he was not part of the Cheshbin of the Sanhedrin. So Rabbi Yehuda holds similarly over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a member of the Sanhedrin. He may have presided over the Sanhedrin, but he was not an actual member. However, the Rabbanan hold that he was. What's the base for the Machlokes? Says the Gemara. Omar Kura, the Pasuk says, the Yisiatzvu Sham Imach, that these 70 should stand there as we go to the top of the Yudam and Aleph, they should stand there with you. So we learn the Rabbanan Darshan Imach Ve'at Bahadayu, with you, and you are with them. It means we add Moshe to the group of 70 equals 71. Yehuda learns Imach Mishum Shchina. Rashi has two pshatim. The first pshat of Rashi is that they should stand with you outside of the Oil Mayed. They should not go in there because of the Shchina. A second pshat is because since the Shchina that rested on top of Moshe had to go over to the Shivim Zakenim, therefore Moshe has to stand next to them, as the Pasuk says, V'itzalti min aruch asher alach, Hashem will take from the Shchina, which is connected to Moshe, and bring it over to the Shivim Zakenim. Therefore, Moshe had to be there. But Imach does not mean that he is counted as one of the 71. Rather, there were only 70. So this Raya, Rabbi Yehuda, is able to deflect. Therefore, the Rabbanan are going to look for a different source. Rabbanan and the Rabbanan say, Omer Kra, this pasuk is in Bamidbar Yud Aleph, where we're speaking about the Shivim Zakenim. V'nasi itcha b'masa ha'am. Itcha v'at badayu. They will carry with you the burden of the people. So we learn out, say the Rabbanan, itcha with you v'at badayu, and you are counted together with them. 70 plus 1 equals 71. V'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, itcha b'doymin loch. Itcha means that they should be comparable to you. Rashi says in two ways, miuchasin, they should have a good yichus, uminukin mimum, they should not have a mum. L'chair, I have a question. I have not seen anybody ask it. If anybody has an answer, please email me at grossman@ou.org. That L'chaira, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvat peh, and this was brought about by the malach pushing the coal to his lips, so it seems that he had some physical impediment. Why was the kvat peh not considered a mum? Continues the Gemara, V'rabbonon, and the Rabbonon, how do they know that it has to be b'doy milach? They're learning itcha, that Moshe was part of the Sanhedrin of 71. How will they learn out Rabbi Yehuda's din of b'doy milach? They will learn it out from Yisroi from his advice to Moshe, Mivehakel me olecha v'nasa itcha nafka, he will learn it out from the Besdin system that Yisrael advised Moshe to make. In other words, Moshe was going to make the small Sanhedrin, because Moshe had a din of the Sanhedrin Gedolah of 71, and they will lessen from you your burdens, and they will carry with you. So even though that's speaking about a Sanhedrin Ketana, the Yalfa Sanhedrin Gedolah is Sanhedrin Ketana, just like the Halacha is by Sanhedrin Ketana, Itcha, that they have to be Daimin Lach, so too by the 70 members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah, they have to be equal to the 71st member, according to Rabban of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is learned out from the Pasuk by Yisroi, and therefore the Rabbanan have left over the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yudal, V'nasa Itcha, to teach us that Va'at Bahadayu, that there is actually 71. Tana Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned in a Braisa. It says, V'yisharu Shnei Anashim HaMachana, when these 70 were chosen, there were two of the elders who remained in the Machana, and these were Eldar and Medar, and they began to say Nevuah. Yesh, or some say that Bekalpi Nisharu, that they remained in the box. There was a lottery that took place here, as the Gemara is now going to explain. Shabbashosh, or Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Asuli Shevim, Ish, Uzik, Neis, Royal, gathered together 70 elders from the 12 Shvatim, Amr Moshe. Moshe said, Kate said, Esa, what should I do? Ever, she should be called Shevet for Shevet. If I'm going to take six from every Shevet, Nimtzu Shna Yimisar, it comes out that there will be two extra, because six times 12 is 72, and he only needs another 70. Ever chamisha chamisha kol shevet shevet, if I'll only take five, so I won't go over the amount of 70, but then 5 times 12 is 60. Nimtzu asor chaserim, comes out that 10 are missing. Ever shishu mishevet zeh v'chamisha mishevet zeh, if I'll take from one shevet 6 and from another shevet 5, in other words, I won't take 6 from all 12. I'll only take 6 from 10. And from the other two, I will take 5 each. That will give me a total of 70. Hareini matil kinaben ashvatim. Then there will be jealousy, because one shevet will say, why do we get only 5? We want 6. So it's not fair. Ma asa. What was the eighth that Moshe did? Birer shisha shisha. He chose 6 from each shevet. And now he set up a system how he, from the 72, the pool of 72, he would only take 70. The Havi Shivim Vishnayim Pitokin, he brought 72 papers. I'll Shivim on 70 of them, Kosav Zokin. He wrote the word Zokin, that whoever would choose that, he would be one of the 70 elders. The Rabbi Shom is showing that it's choosing him to be one of the Shivim Zakanim. Ushnaim in the Echolik, and two of the 72 he left blank. Whoever would choose that would not be part of the Shivim Zakein. Bolon, he mixed them up, and also the copy put it into a box. Amar Lahem, he told to the 72 Zakeinim, Boyu, come, Utlupis Kechem, take your piece of paper. Call me, Shalabiyot Zakin. Whoever got a paper with the word Zakin on it, Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kvar Kitschcha Shemarim, Hashem has already sanctified you. You are one of the Shivim Zakenim. Me, Shalabiyot Cholog. But the one who got a empty blank piece of paper, Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hamokum Lechavitz Baruch Hashem does not desire you. Anima Haselach, what can I do for you? I have to follow the wish of Hashem. And as Rashi explains, Eldad Amedad remained in the camp. They were afraid to take part in the lottery because they were afraid, as Rashi says, shenisyaru shalayala biyodn cholak. They were afraid that they would get an empty one and perhaps they'd be embarrassed. They didn't want to go. And therefore, there were two other of the 72 who went and took a cholak, because Eldad Amedad were in fact part of the Shivim. So that's why the first Monday Yom here in the Gemara says that there were two lotteries left in the box, and on those two pieces of paper, it did say the word Zakein, and that was referring to Eldad Amedad, Ki Yaitzub Davar HaTomer. Where else do we see that a lottery was used? Similarly, concerning the Leviim who did the Avoda in the Mishkan instead of the Bechorim. There were a total of 22,273 Bechorim. They were replaced by 22,000 Leviim. So there were extra 273 Bechayrim who were not substituted by Levim. But they had to remove their Kedusha of Bechayrim, because originally they were the ones who were supposed to do the Avoda. So the Eitzah was that they would give a five shkolim, they would give to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, and through that they would be Nifta. Says the Pasuk in Bamidbor Gimel, each person should give five shkolim. Amar Moshe, Moshe said to himself, Ketzer Atzelen, Li Yisrael, how should I do this to Yisrael? Im Oimer Loi Tenli Pidyoin Chavutse, if I tell each Bechor, give me your pigeon and go Yoimer Li, they will say to me, why do I have to give a pigeon of Chamish Shkolim, Kvar Padani Ben Levi? I've been redeemed, but I've been substituted by the Ben Levi. The Ben Levi took my Kedusha. Why am I one of the ones, the 273 who have to be parted with a Chamish Shkolim? Ma also, what did he do? Hey, vi esrim u'shnayim alafim, piskin. He took 22,000 pieces of paper for Kosovolam Ben Levi. And on them he wrote the word Ben Levi. Val shloisha v'shivim masayim, on 273 pieces of paper, kosovolayim, chamisha shkolim. He wrote the words chamisha shkolim. Ball, and he mixed them up. Then nasa makalpi, he put them into a box. Amalani told to the b'chayrim, each b'char, tulu piskechem, take your paper. Mishol b'yada Ben Levi, if it said the word Ben Levi on the paper, amaloi, he told that b'char kvar padacha Ben Levi, that your Kedusha has been redeemed by being transferred to the Levi who substituted you. Based on the paper that on it, it had the word Ben Levi. The one who got a paper that said on it, Chamisha Shkolim, Omar Loi, Moshe said to him, Tein Pidyon Chavetz, hey, give your pigeon and go out. You have to redeem yourself through the Shkolim. So here was another instance where a lottery was used to settle a potential problem. This is the first shita, that the two pieces of paper remained in the box, that they were intended for Elder who made it. Reb Shimon says, B'machan and Ishtaru. They remained in the camp. Eshosh, Amru Le'akadosh Baruch Hu, L'mayisha, Asfali Shim Ish, Amru Elder who made it, Ain on the ruin, they were on Nevim. They said, we're not Roy, we shouldn't be part of the Zakanim. Amar Kodesh Baruch, Holy Ma'imi Atatem, Atzmechem, since you lowered yourself, Hareini Moise Gedula Gedula Aschem, I am going to increase greatness to your greatness. Umagdula Hoysevla, what did Hashem add as far as Gedula to Eldadu Medad? Shehanevim kulum nisnavu pasku. All the other Nevi'im, meaning the other members of the Shivim Zakenim, they said Nevu at that time, and then they stopped. Veheim and Elder Rumeida nisnavu loy pasku. They said Nevuah, and they did not stop. Uman Nevu nisnavu. What Nevuah did they prophesize? Elder Rumeida, Amru, they said, we have three sheetahs here. The first sheetah says, they said, Moshe meis. Moshe is going to die. Yeshua machnas Yisrael la'aretz. Yeshua is the one who's going to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Abba Chana Noimer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Aliskeis love him, Esnavim. As Rashi explains, this was not a nevuah for a far-off thing in the future, but rather it was something pertinent right there. Tzoyrich Shah Hoysa, says Rashi, something that was negeah right then and there where Eldad Amedah were saying nevuah concerning the slav, because Klal Yisrael had said that they don't want to eat just mon. And Eldad Umeidad said that the Rabbi Hashem is going to give you slav. Aliske slav he misnavim. Ali slav, come up the slav, come up the quail, the slav. Rav Nachman Amar aliske goy gumal gokoy misnavim. He says they were actually prophesizing way into the future concerning the last battle, last war of the world, the war of goy gumal goy. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yecheskel, Koy Amar Hashem Elokim, Ha'ata Hu, are you the one referring to Goig, Asher Dibarti B'yom Kadmainim, that I, Hashem, spoke in the earlier days, B'yad Avadai, through my servants, the V'yei Yisrael, the prophets of Yisrael, Hanibim B'yom Mahem, Shonim Lohavi Yisraelim, that long ago, years ago, the word Shonim in the Parsha of Shem means years ago, they prophesied that you would come involved in the war of Gog Umagog, I'll take Rishonim, don't read the word as years, Ella Shnayim, the same word with different Nekudais, is Shnayim. This is the Nevuah of the two. Ve'ezen Shnayim Nevim Shnesav Perek Echot, Nevuah Achas. Where do we find in the history of Nevuah that there were two Nevi'im who prophesied at the same time, one identical Nevuah? Havi Oimer, I will say, Elder Meida, this refers to Elder Meida, so their Nevuah concerned Gog Umagog. So we have three Pshatim. The first Pshat says that they prophesied Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnas. Second Pshat says it was concerning the Slav. Third Pshat says it was concerning Gog Umagog. Omar Mar. Kol Nevim Kul Nisnavu Pasku. All the other Nevim, all the others of Canaan said Nevuah when they stopped. Vehein Nisnavu V'loi Pasku. They said Nevuah and they did not stop. Agav Urcha. I forgot to mention that the Masoreth Shas on the top of the Amud on the right side brings from Rashi in the Ayin Yaakov that he says that that's the Pshat in the Pasuk of Elder Demeded V'yisharu Shnei Anashim V'heima B'ksuvim. What does it mean, V'heima B'ksuvim? In the written, K'loimer P'sakin K'suvin Ho'yulam B'kalfi V'loi Holchu Litlam. They had written piece of paper in the boxes. It was not blank. It had been written on their K'suvim. But they didn't go to get it because they thought they're going to wind up with the ones that are empty. So learns Rashi in the Ayin Yaakov Pshat in that pasuk in Chumash. So the Gemara quotes what we learned before, that Kol HaNevim Kulm Nisnavu Pasku, Vehein Nisnavu Veloi Pasku, Elder Meida continued to say Nevuah, Minolon De Pasku, how do you know that the others said Nevuah and stopped? Ilei Memirich Siv, Vayisnavu Veloi Yosafu, because it says they prophesied. And we're going to interpret the word Yosafu means they did not continue to prophesy. Elamiyatev so, the pasuk, which is written concerning Kabbalah Satorah, which states, "Koil God of Yosef," that there was a large, a loud sound of Hashem. Hachinami de lo Yosefu. Are you going to interpret the word Yosef that it didn't continue? We're speaking about the sound of the Shekhinah, and as Rashi says, "Koil Shekhinah ain't a pasuk." The koil of the Shekhinah, the sound of the Shekhinah, does not stop. So you cannot learn that pshat. Ella deloi pasaku. So you must learn by Hashem, by the koil. Koil God of Eloi Yosef, it didn't stop. So if so, maybe by the Nevi'im also. Vayisnavu v'lo yosafu. They didn't stop. Why do you learn it? They prophesied and they didn't continue to prophesy. The Gemara says, you're right, we have to get a different, clearer source. Ella, hachak siv, vayisnavu. Here it says that they prophesied in the past tense by the other Nevi'im, the others of Canaan, Hossam by Elder Ma'idah, Ksiv, Misnavim. They are presently saying Nevuah, Adayim, Misnavim, Holkam. They are still saying the Nevuah because they did not stop saying the others did. Now the Gemara asks questions on the various Shitas. Bishlam, Laman, the Yomer, Moshe, Meis. Hainu, Ksiv, Adoni, Moshe, Kalam. That's why Yeshua said to Moshe, you know what they're saying about you, that you're going to say that you're going to die. That's why he told his master, Moshe, climb, destroy them. Or another pshat, shut them up, keep them quiet. They shouldn't say such things. El lamandi omer hanachtarti. But according to the two other shitas that they said, Nevuah concerning Gog Umagog and Slav, my Adoni Moshe, climb. What did Yeshua mean when he said, destroy them? What did were they doing wrong? They were saying in the Nevuah. The answer the Gemara gives is the Lav Urich Ara, this is not proper conduct. The Havalek Talmud Hamayra Lochofne Rabba. Yeshua was not upset about what they were saying. Yeshua was upset at the fact that they were saying in the Nevuah in front of Moshe, and that's like a Talmud who's Mayra Lochofne Rabbi, he's Chayiv Misa, and therefore that's what Yeshua said to Moshe Kloyim. Bishlam leman yomer hanachtarti. If you learn the two pshatim of Gog Umagog or Slav, hainu dechsev miyitin. That's why Moshe responded to Yeshua, halavai, that the kolam, the whole nation, would be nevi'im. El leman yomer Moshe meis. But according to the shita that they prophesied, Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to be machnas them in Eretz Yisrael. Minicham nichle. So Moshe says, oh, I wish everybody would prophesy. And now this is a great nevuah. They were speaking about the demise of Moshe Rabbeinu. How could we understand it? So this pshat seems to be very difficult. The Gemara answers, Lo Yisaymu Kamei. They didn't say the whole Nevuah. They only said part of the Nevuah. On this, the Aruch Liner asks a very strong question. So L'chayr, what does that mean? That they didn't say Yeshua Machnis L'Eretz Yisrael. They said Moshe Meis. So why is that better? It might even make it worse. They just said he's going to die. If they would say, but your Talmud, Muvik, Yeshua is taking over, maybe you'd have some consolation in that fact. But just saying the words Moshe Meis, by not completing it, what does the Gemara mean? That didn't bother him. So the Aruch Liner answers based on Gemara in Sotah Daf Yud Daled, where the famous Gemara, where the Gemara asks, "Neiman Isavim Moshe Rabbeinu Likanes Laaretz V'chilechem Piriyut Tzarich." Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to enter Eretz Yisrael? Was it to eat the luscious fruits of Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says, "Of course not. That's not the rationalization. That's not the reason Moshe wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. The reason was he wanted to do the mitzvahs atulius ba'aretz." So says the Aruch Liner, we see from this that Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that someone is telling him he's going to die, that in and of itself would not bother him. Because if it would bother him, then what does the Gemara say? Why did Moshe want to enter Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara should answer. He wanted to enter because that would mean he would be living longer. If he doesn't enter, it means he's going to die before Klal Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael, which in fact happened. But the Gemara knows that that's not the reason. The gashmiistic effect that he's going to eat the fruits or even that he's going to live longer, that is not the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to enter Eretz Yisrael. It's only the ruchnius that he can accomplish to do more mitzvahs. So that's why the Gemara is saying they didn't complete their nevuah in front of Moshe. It wasn't told over to Moshe the whole nevuah. It was only told over Moshe Meis. So Moshe Meis means that whereas Eliyahu HaNavi was alive when he went into Shemayim, you, Moshe, are not going to go alive. You're going to die. So that Moshe has no problem with. But if they would tell him that not only will you die, but Yeshua will be Machlis L'Adam Teretz Yisrael, and we know that one melech does not take a hairbreadth away from another melech. That means that you can't have Moshe and Yeshua functioning as Malachim together, overlapping. If Yeshua is the one who's going to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, it means that Moshe is not, and Moshe is going to die before Eretz Yisrael. That means he won't be able to do the mitzvahs. Ah, that would cause him tremendous anguish. And that's why the Gemara says, L'Simu Kamei. When the Gemara says, L'Mandi Yomer Moshe Meis, Minich Havi Nichalei, was it Nicha for him to die and not enter Eretz Yisrael, according to Aruch Liner, and not do the mitzvah tluyus baretz? That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara answers, L'Simu Kamei. They didn't finish that part that Yeshua would be machlis them to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Meis could mean that Moshe, you will be machlis them in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll die after your mekayim the mitzvah tluyus baretz. So therefore, they just said Moshe Meis, and on that, Moshe said, halvai, that everybody, all members of Klal Yisrael would be Nevi'im. My Kloyim, what did Yeshua mean when he said that Moshe should destroy them? Omar Lei, Yeshua said to Moshe, Hatel Leim Tzarchi Tzibur, give them the needs of the community, Vehem Kolon Me'alein, and their Nevuah will end by itself. The top Tosis explains, Pirish Nevuasim Kola, De'ein Shechina Shaira, Mitoich Atzvus El Mitoich Simcha. When a person gets communal responsibilities upon him, many times, often, it causes him to be in atzvas, in depression, sadness. It's very difficult to be oisik b'tzarchi tzibur. That's why one has to do it b'emuna. And since a person will very often not be b'simcha, the shechina will not be shaira, there will be no nevuah. This will be a way of stopping their nevuah. And now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph. The Mishnah had learned from V'shafto Eida, V'itzilo Ha'eda, that Eida means 10. And if it says twice Eida, means 20. And then from various psukim, we learned out that you have another 3. Why do you have another 3? When you go to a majority for good, for acquitting the defendant, you need less than a majority to find him guilty. If you have one even. Let's say you have 12 to 11, so he's found innocent. But the hatiya, the going in the direction of chayiv, that requires al pishnayim. That you need two. So therefore, instead of just 20, we need a majority of two, which would mean 12 to 10. But you can't have an equal bezdin. Ve'ein bezdin shakol mosifin aleim oid echad harei kan chav gimel. That's how the Mishnah concludes why we need 23, because we need one more. We need two to make it 12 to 10. We need another one to make it a unequal bezdin, that there could be a majority each way. Otherwise, they could split evenly down the middle. So the Gemara has a problem with this. Let us go back to the words of the Mishnah. Minayin lahavi oid shlosha. How do you know besides 20 you need another 3? And we just explained it. The Gemara asks, Saif, Saif, now that you come out to 23, again, it's a catch 22. You're defeating your own purpose. L'ral pishnayim l'mishkachsla. You're not going to be able to find a hatiya l'ra based on 2. Why? If 11 say he's innocent, and 12 say he's guilty, that's not enough. 12 to 11, which means equals 23, but you only have an hatiya, a majority of 1. That's not good for finding the defendant guilty. And if there's 10 only that find him innocent, and 13 will split the 23 into 13 and 10, that 13 say he's chayiv, so he's found guilty based on that majority. But tlosav, you don't have 2, you have 3. So how does 2 ever come out? Once we get to the number 23, we're left either with a t of 1, which is no good, or a t of 3, and we need a t of 2. So how do you ever have 2? Amar Rav Avua, yatamaitza ela b'maisifin v'divrei hakol, u'b'sanhedrin gedol v'aliv de Rabbi Yehuda d'amar shivim. So the Gemara says, ein echanami, you'll only have 2 answers. Regularly, you won't, but you will be mekayim, the Indian, of having an atiya by 2. Normally, your atiya l'ra will have to be by 3. But if you have 11 saying zakai, innocent, and 11 saying chayiv, guilty, and 1 says eini yoide, I don't know, so we add another 2. The Gemara later tells us in the Masechta. And then if they split even, you add another 2. Until you come to the number of 71, according to the Rabbanan. So you keep on adding and adding until 71. So since the Eini Yodeya is considered, as we're going to see soon, Kemandalesa, as if his thinking doesn't count at all because he is mesupik. He says, I don't know which way to go. I have a reason to say yes, chayiv. I have a reason to say no, he's innocent. So therefore, his decision, his vote doesn't count at all. He's as if he's non-existent. So when you get to 71, really all you have without his vote is 70. So then you could have 36 to 34, and one abstaining, one says any idea. So you'll have the hatiya based on 2. Or ube sanhedre gidoyla valiba de Rabbi Yehuda. And the truth is, I just made the scenario up to 71 in the Rabbanim, but really, let's go even to 23. 23, one says any idea, so you add another 2. So how many do you have altogether? Not 25, but you really only have 24 because the any idea doesn't count. And then you can have, from the 24, you can have, instead of 12 and 12, you'll have 13 and 11, and 1 is any idea. So you'll have your atiya based on 2. Or, Sanhedrin Gedolah, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you always only have 70. As we learned in the beginning of today's shiur. And if you always have 70, it'll come out that you could have 36 to 34, which will be a hatiya of 2. Alibid Rabbi Yehuda d'Amar Shivim. V'Amar Rabbi Avua. B'maisif and Oysen Bezen Shakul L'chatchila. When one says any day, and you have to add 2. So it comes out that you're going to split 13 to 11 with one abstention. So you're allowed to do the lechatchila, even though it comes out you only have here 24 votes, which is a bezin shakal, an even numbered bezin. Asking more pshita, of course, that's the halacha, because we learned that you're always adding two, and the one doesn't count, who says any idea. So Gemara says, no, I would think the one does count. Ma, the same Ahidekomer any idea, command the Isidomi. I would think his vote counts. In other words, we can ask him, why do you say yes? Why do you say think no? The E Omer Milsa, and if he says something logical, Shaminle, we listen to him. Kamash Malon, the Ahidekomer any idea, command the Lesidomi. The one who's saying, I don't know, is as if he's not even existent. We don't count him at all. And if he wants to say a logic, we don't listen to him at all. And therefore, it is a even-numbered bezdin. But yet, that's the halacha that you're allowed to do with lechatchila, even though his vote doesn't count at all, and he's totally as if he's non-existent. Omar Rav Kahana, said Rav Kahana, Sanhedrin, Shiro, Kulim Lechayiv, they all found him guilty. There was not one member of the Sanhedrin that found him innocent. The din is poitrin oisoi. The Rambam and most Rishonim learn poitrin oisoi means that he is found innocent. My time. If everybody finds him guilty, why should he be found innocent? Because Kiv and the Gemara, since we have learned that Alonis din, Lemevele Schusa, that if you have Roiv who find him guilty, where today it should be that he should be taken out to be executed. But we say, let's sleep overnight on it. Let's think about it. There's a life at stake. Maybe overnight people will change their minds. But over here, where everyone considers him guilty, there's no one who found any mitigating circumstance why he should not get the death penalty. Vahani Sule Chazule. In this case, where everybody found him guilty, no one is going to find a schus for him. So that is a defect in the judgment. It's only a good judgment if you're able to have Halonis Adin overnight to think it over. But if everybody's going to find him guilty, you're not going to accomplish anything. If it's a clear-cut, open-and-shut case, so for sure tomorrow morning everybody's going to find him guilty again. And therefore, that's not how we administer justice, and therefore he's potter. However, the Yad Rama here has a pshat which is keneged all the Rishonim, and he learns poitrin oisoi, we let him go, means he goes immediately to be executed. We don't give the halonas overnight, because the whole reason for the halon is to find the schus. Here, where everybody found him guilty, no one is going to find him a schus, so there's no need for the halon overnight. Therefore, poitrinus, that means you free him to be immediately executed without halonus adin. Again, the Rambam, other Rishonim, disagree with this pshat of the Yad Rama. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Moishiv Misanhedrin El Bali Kaima. What type of dayanim do we have in a Sanhedrin? Bali koyim, men of stature. Ubali chochem, and wise men. Ubali mar, and handsome men. Rashi says that they have stature and they are handsome, and the reason is in order shetehei a mosin mutalas alabrius, that this gives awe and respect to the litigants. They have respect for the court. Ubali zikna, and they should be elders. Now, they can't be too old. It means moderately old. Why? Because we have a Gemara further in Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Ein Meshivim B'Sanhedrin Zaken. And Rashi explains over there, Sheshachach Kfar Tzar Gidl Bon Ve'Ein Rachmani. We need people that have mercy. And someone, if he has children, the children cause him to be merciful. But if he doesn't have any children anymore, then he loses his mercy. He's ineligible to be a member of the Sanhedrin. What exactly is the age when one is called a zokein and is ineligible? This Ayin b'Margalis Yamu has a discussion about this. But Baalei Zikna here means he's not too old, but he's not a youngster either. He's moderately old. Ubalik Shafim, he has to know everything about magic. And Rashi explains two reasons for this. One is so that a mechashef, somebody who practices black magic, will not be able to use his kishuv to thwart the psak bezdin that he is chayv misa, because Sanhedrin knows how to use magic against him. And the second pshat in Rashi is that they should be aware of people who are meisus u'madiach, who are influencing and talking others into serving with magic, and you only could it takes one to know one means that if they're well versed in kishuv, they'll be able to spot those who are trying to spread kishuv in Klal Yisrael. So that's why the Sanhedrin had to be balik shofim. The yoidim b'ayin lashon, they had to know 70 languages. We're all familiar that Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin in the story of Megillas Esther, and he heard Bichsav HaSeresh speaking not in the common language, and he, knowing Shivim Lashon, was able to understand what they were saying. Now, what is the reason why he has to know 70 languages? Shaloite Sanhedrin Shamas Mipiyam Turgamin. As Rashi explains, the last words under Rashi on this Amid, the Havali Eid Mipiyad, we have a halacha that Dayanim have to hear it directly from one witness. They cannot hear it a witness from a witness. And if the Dayan does not know the Lashon of the aid, he'll have to hear it from another aid, another person who is listening to the first aid and understands his language. And that's not sufficient, because Bezdin has to hear it directly from the witness. Continues the Gemara. Amr of Yudah Marav, Ein Meshivim B'Sanhedrin, El Mishia Deya L'Taras Hasheretz Min HaTorah. Only someone who knows how to be Metaher, the Sheretz. The Sheretz, there are Shmoyne Shratzim, eight small creatures that, if they die, they're Nevela. If one touches, one becomes Tamei. And this is a Beferish Apostolic in the end of Bechukaisai. And the Dayan had to know how to say that a Sheretz is tar, which seems to be a very strange din. In fact, we have a similar Gemara in Erevin Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. There the Gemara says, Talmud Vasek Hoya B'Yavne Shohaya Metaris HaSheretz B'Meya V'Chamishim Taimim. This Talmud in Yavne was Metaris HaSheretz with 150 reasons. And there the Gemara says, as we continue here, Amar Rav, Ani Edun Vataren, I will have a logic which will be Matar Asheretz. In the Gemara in Erevin, it's not Rav, as is pointed out here at the bottom, but rather it's Ravina. It also, it's a little different. Here it says, Mishi Adel Ataris Asheretz Minat Taira, and there it says, B'mei V'chamishim Taimim. So Taisus over here asks, and so in Erevin Yud Gimel Amid Beis, that the second Taisus, Kashtar Rabbeinu Tam, the Ma'alana B'chariva Shel Hevel, Atar Sheretz, Atar Tamasek. The Torah itself was Metameh, a Sheretz, the Nevel of a Sheretz. So why does a Dayan have to be well-versed in knowing how to be Metara Sheretz? And certainly with 150 reasons. So the Taisus gives his teretz. The Sefer told us, Yaakov Yosef says that this is to teach us a very important lesson, that people many times know that things are usser, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is usser, but a person has all kinds of aterim, all kinds of rationalizations, why should be mutter? So we learn from a Dayan that on the one hand, he had to know how to be Matar or Sheretz with 150 different reasons, or at least one reason, as we're going to see here in the Gemara, and yet that doesn't influence him to swerve, to veer away from the halacha psuka that a sheretz is metam. What is the logic of Ravina in Erevin and Rav here in Sanhedrin? Ani odem v'atarena, that I will be able to be metarit. If not, that the Torah said it's also, as we turn to the Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we learn it out from the Nachash. Uma Nachash, a snake, shememis, that it kills people. Umar betuma, and as a result, people die, and there's tumas mace in the world, and this nachash is proliferating tum in the world, and yet the nachash, if he dies, he's not one of the Shemani Shratzim, and his nevel, if you touch it, is tor, so sheret she'ena mamis. The sheret is unable to kill people. Umar betuma, he's unable to spread tumas mace. Ein oidin, isn't it a kavachoymer, she hate tor, that the sheretz, when it dies, its nevela should be tar, because the nachash is stronger than a sheretz. It can cause tumas meis, and yet its nevela is tar, so certainly a sheretz should be tar. Veloy, the Gemara says that this logic can be schlugged up. It's not a good logic. Why? Midi dehava koitz ba'alma, as Rashi explains. Just like you have a thorn, where if a person pricks himself with the thorn, it's possible that this thorn could cause him to bleed to death, could cause his demise, and yet the koitz certainly, let's say the koitz withers and dies, and yet if anybody touches that koitz, he does not become tame. So we see that the fact that something can cause tumas meis, can kill people, is not a factor in the thing itself becoming tame. So therefore, you can't bring me a rye from Nachash because it could kill people and it's tar, that should make a sheretz tar. So this logic is answered and not accepted by the Gemara. The question that the Vilner Goyen has, and this I heard from a very chashva Rav Mansi Rav Yisrael Schlesinger Shlita, the question that the Vilner Goyen has is, if there were 150 reasons to matar, so why in Erevin and here does the Gemara only give this one logic of the Nachash, the Kal V'Chomer, and schlug it up? What happened to the other 149 reasons? What are they? And how do we schlug up those 149? So the Vilner Goyen says that a whole different pshat in the Gemara. Dehi rak derech chida. This whole thing is like a riddle. Many halachas, many, especially in Agada, many concepts in Agada were hidden by Chazal in riddles for the Talmidei Chacham to figure out what the enigmatic riddle was all about. Rav Huna, he's speaking there in Erevin, where it's Rav Huna, here it's Rav. Rav Huna bir hachida v'kach pirusha. And this is the understanding of the logic of this riddle. That actually, there are no 150 reasons. There's only one reason. And that's the reason that Rav here and Ravina in Erevin are bringing down from the Nachash. What does it mean? There's me'ev hachamishim taimim. Not like the simple pshat that taimim means reasons, but rather chamishim, me'ev hachamishim taimim means, says the Vilna Gaon, taimei hamikra. Dimatsanu lekadmoinim, we find the earlier commentators, shadorshu taimim uneginois hamikra. They learned the trup, the musical notes on the words of the Torah. And in last week's Parsha, this year being Tavshin Ayin, in Parsha's Truma, it says that Oirech HaChotzer, the length of the Chotzer was Me'a Ba'ama, 100 Amos. V'roich of Chamishim B'Chamishim, and the width was all the way along the 100 Amos of length. It was 50-50. That means the entire width of the Chotzer was 50. And what are the trup on Me'a Ba'ama, Kadma V'Azla? And what are the trop on chamishim, bechamishim, munach, revi? And the words kadma v'azla, munach, revi, have an Aramaic understanding, and that is that kadma v'azla, this is a remes to the nachash, hakadmoini, the first nachash that enticed Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He was Orem Mikol Achayis. He was the cleverest, the shrewdest, the slyest of all the animals. He was Kadma Vazla. He was walking around. The world was his. And what happened as a punishment for corrupting Adam and Chava? What happened was that Munach Revi'i, his four legs got cut off, and now he's on the ground. He's slithering around on his belly on the ground. So this is a remes to the Nachash, says the Vilna Gaon. There weren't 150. There's one reason. Amar Rav, ani odin v'atarenu uman Nachash. This is a remes to the Nachash. So the question Rav Schlesinger asked, beautiful pshat, that's why we don't mention the other 149 reasons, because there are no 149 reasons. But asks Rav Schlesinger, why do we only have this Kadma V'Azla Munach Revi here by the Chotzer? Why don't we have it anywhere else in the Torah to be Meramez on the Nachash? So the answer is that the Rabbeinu Bechaya says that there are three parts to the Mishkan, and there are three parts to a person. And they are to remind us of three parts in the heavenly spheres, which is beyond our understanding. And we'll just deal with the three parts of the Mishkan and the three parts of a person. There's the holiest part, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In it was the Aron, which housed the Luchas and the Sefer Torah and the Kruvim. Then we get into the Heichal, which is the Kodesh, the Ohel Moed, in front of the Peroches. And that had lesser Kelim, which were the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach HaZava, on which the Ketoros was brought. And then outside of the Ohel Moed was the Chotzer. And there we had the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, and so says the Sfas Emes, that this corresponds to a person, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is his mind, his intellect, the Moyach. The next part, which is not as holy, is the Lev of a person. And finally, we have the lower part of a person, which represents the physical part of a person. And that's the Kaved. The Chotzer represents the Kaved. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is Moyach. The Kodesh, the Heichel, is Lev. And the Chotzer is the Kaved, the liver, the digestive tract. And this spells out the first letters of Moach, Lev, and Kaved is Melech. That we have to dedicate all our parts of every person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does the Nachash find himself? In fact, the end of the Pasuk, of that Pasuk of Meya Ba'amo and Reich of Chamishim B'Chamishim, says Vadneim Nechoshes. There you have copper. There was no copper in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh. The copper first started in the Masach, in the screen that was in front of the Ohel Moed. The top was gold. The bottom was Nechoshes. Adneim Nechoshes. The sockets were made out of copper. Now we're making a transition into the outside part of the Mishkan, into the Chotzer. There it's full of Nechoshes. There you have a Chashukeim, which is a kind of circular item that went around the rods there, the cheshek, the nachash represents, this is the connection of nachash and the chotzer. This is why the Kadma Vaz Lemunach Revi goes specifically into the words of 150, Meyav Chamishim, which have to do with the chotzer, because that's the home of the nachash. As the pasuk concludes there, Vadneim Nechoshes. The nachash is busy with the tivus of a person, with his digestive tract, his physical part. And that's why there in the Chotzer, the person was supposed to bring korbanos on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. He was supposed to counteract the Nachash. Where's the connection between Nachash and the Nechoshes? We find that by Moshe. When Klal Yisrael rebelled against Moshe in the Midbar, the snakes began to bite them and kill them. And then Moshe put up a copper snake, where if Klal Yisrael looked up to it, was meshabed themselves to Hashem, did tshuva, then, even though they were bitten by the snakes, they did not die. So there we see that Nechoshes and Nachash go together, but the concept is that here is the area where the Nachash, just as he corrupted Adam and Chava by showing them the eights, that beautiful fruit tree, ki toivo eitz lamachol v'chisavahu leinayim. That's what the Vateira Isha, that's what she saw. So he tried to be machshol, the Adam and Chava, bring them down through achila. So the karbonis on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes represent that we have to take that power of the Nachash, of the Nechoshes, and elevate it that it should become a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to take the Mem of Moyach and the Lamed of Lev and the Chaf of Kaved, and we have to spell it out to Melech that we are elevating it into Malchus Shamayim. So this is the Groz, beautiful pshat in the sugi with the beer of the Rabbeinu B'chaye, as Reb Schlesinger explained it. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yudam Rav, Kol Ir, She'ein Bo, we are four lines from the top of Amud Beis, Yud Zanim Beis, Amar Yudam Rav, Kol Ir, She'ein Bo, Shnayim L'daber, if there are not two Dayanim who know how to speak 70 languages, Ve'echad L'shmoy, and one to understand, Ein Mashivim Basan Hedri, he may not know how to speak at the third one, but at least you have a total of three people who understand. Two of them speak, and one understands all 70 languages. Ube Beitar have a shloisha. Ube Yavna arbo. Beitar had three people, and Yavna had four. Who were the four? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshuv, Rabbi Kiva, and Shimon HaTamani, Don Lufnei Bekarka. Shimon HaTamani, as Rashi explains, was not old enough to get smicha, so he was a Talmud sitting in front of his Rabbanim, answering and asking questions in Mefalpel in the halachas that they were being done on. Meisve, you say that all you need is two to speak, but we learned not like that in the Brisa. Shlishis chachma, if there are three dayanim who know how to speak the 70 languages, that's wise, that's a bezdin that is doing it correctly. If you have four, revius, ein lamaila mena, there's no better bezdin than if you have even four people who speak it. But you see, a minimum is three people who speak it, not two speak and one who understands it. The more answers, Hu Damar, when he said two speak and one understand, you don't need three to speak, he was saying, Kahai Tana, like this Tana in the Brisa of the Sanhedrin we learned, Shnia Chachma, if you have two that speak it, that's already Chachma. And Shlisha saying the Mahamad, if you have three that speak, there's nothing greater than that. So he was going like that, Mandi Omar. And now the Gemara is going to relate certain expressions, which in fact we find throughout Shas. And throughout Shas, you'll always find these expressions, and Rashi and the Meforshim will always quote, Yud Zayin Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. Whenever you see these words, they have certain meanings. For example, Lameidin Lefnei Chachamim, if that's the expression, you know it's speaking about Levi Mi Rebbe. Levi is learning from Rebbe. If it says Donan Lefnei Chachamim, that equals Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoima, V'chanan Amitzri, V'chananya ben Chakinoi. These four were young Talmidim who did not get smicha, and they were sitting in the ground in front of the Chachamim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masi Chamish, there were five of them, Shimon, v'Shimon, the first two Shimons we had before, Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoyim, and also Shimon ben Manasseh that we said before. The Yad Rima explains why weren't they mentioned, why was Shimon HaTemani, rather. Why wasn't Shimon HaTemani mentioned with the first four, according to the first Monday Omer? Because he didn't live at the same time. But Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is linking him together with these other four. Chanan v'Chananya. You have three Shimons, Chanan v'Chananya, who were Talmidim sitting in front of their Rebbe. If it says someplace in Shas, Rabbi Sanya Sheba Bavel, who does that equal? Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Sanya Sheba Yisrael, who is that? Rav Abba. Dayani Goyla, that's Karna. Dayani there to Sral, that's Rav Ami Varavasi. If you remember in Bava Basra, we had Dayani Goyla, and the Gemara there explained that it was Karna, based on this Gemara here on Daf Yud Zayinim base. Dayani there to Sral, that's Rav Ami and Ravasi. Dayani de Pumpadisa, that's Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Dayani de Nardor, that's Rav Rada Bar Menyumi. Sabi de Sur, the elders of Sur, that's Rav Huna Rav Chizda. Sabi de Pumpadisa, the elders of Pumpadisa, that's Rav Yehuda Ravina. Harifi de Pumpadisa, the sharp ones of Pumpadisa, that's Eifav Avimi B'nei Rechava, the sons of Rechava. Amaroi de Pumpadisa, that's Rabba Rav Yosef. Amaroi de Nardoi, that's Rav Chama. Nahar Viloi Masnu, they learned, who does that refer to? Rami Bar Rebbe. If it says Amri Bey Rav, they said in the base measure of Rav, who was saying it? That's Rav Huna. Ask the Gemara, Va'omer Rav Huna Amri Bey Rav. Rav Huna says that they said in the name Bey Rav. So you see that Bey Rav is not Rav Huna, because Rav Huna is quoting the Amri Bey Rav. Ella, you know who the Amri Bey Rav is? Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Huna there was quoting it in the name of Rav Hamnuna. Amri Bey Marava, who does that equal? That's Rav Yirmiya. Shalchum Itam, they sent from there. That's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. Mechaku Allah b'marava. They were laughed on this in Eretz Yisrael. Who's that, Rabbi Lazar? Ask the Gemara. That can't be, because we learned Vashalchum Itam l'divrei Rabbi Yosef Chanina. They sent from there, according to Rabbi Yosef Chanina. You just told me that Rabbi Yosef Chanina is the Shalchum Itam. So how could it be here that Shalchum Itam, according to Rabbi Yosef Chanina? Ella Epoch, you have to change it around. Shalchum Itam, that's Rabbi Lazar. So when it said Shalchu Mitam L'Divrei Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, it's Rabbi Lazar saying in the name Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah stated, you need 120 to have a Sanhedrin of 23. How do you get to the number of 120? The answer is, can I get Sanhedrin Katana? The small Sanhedrin was 23. And then there were Shlaloi Shura Shal Esrim Vishloisha. As Rashi explains, the Gemara later in the Masechta will tell us that you had in front of them, of the 23 Dayanim, you had three rows of 23, that if one of the original 23, for some reason, he was sick, he was nifter, he's no longer part of the Sanhedrin, so they had this pool of three rows of 23 from which they took the next member of the Sanhedrin. So altogether, it comes out, you have four groups of 23, four times 23, are Reitishim Matart, you have 92 already. Then Vasar Batlanim Shabesa Kadesis, every city needs a Sar Batlanim, as Rashi explains. There had to be 10 people who were Arbatul Mikol Malacha, that they have to be ready in the basic Knesset, Shachus for Arvis, because the Gemara says in Brachas Davavim Abeis that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a shul and he doesn't find 10 there, he gets angry right away. Because we have learned in Megillah Daf Gimel Abeis, Kol Krachsha Embray Asar Batlanim Nidun Kekvar, it's not a city, it's a village. So therefore, you must have these 10 batlanim, because if you don't, then you can't consider it a city. If it's not a city, if it's a village, it's not zoicha to have a Sanhedri, a ketan of 23. So far we have already 92 antennas, harei mevetrei. We have 102. Ushnei soiferim, you need two stenographers who are always sitting in front of the dayanim and writing down what the issues and the psakim were. Ushnei chazanin. Rashi says a chazan is a clerk of the court, and his purpose is to hit litigants that don't listen to what the court has to say, and also they are mazmen, they tell litigants to come to the bezdin. Ushnei bali dinim, and you need, in order to make a case, you need two people to have a din Torah, one with the other. Ushnei edim, then you have to have witnesses. Ushnei zoymimin, and then you have to have two edim. Because we have a rule that if you have an aid, the she'ia toyochel azima, if nobody can be mazim them, what does mazim mean? That two aidim say that the Reuven killed Shimon in New York on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and Eidi Azoma will come and say, how could you say such a testimony where at that time you were with us Sunday, 1 o'clock in Los Angeles, so you couldn't have been in New York to witness the murder. So the din is that the first Edim, the Pasuk says, Vasisim Loi, Kasher Zomam Lasis Chaveroi. We punish them like they wanted to punish their friend. So they become Edim Zomim. So you have to have two Edim to say the Edis, and they have to be afraid of two other Edim, which will make them potentially into Edim Zomim. And then Rashi explains that maybe the Edim Zomim were hired by one of the litigants, and they're not really saying the truth. Maybe the first Edom were in New York, and the second Edom are false by saying that they were with them in Los Angeles. So you need another two Edom who can say that the second pair of Edom are saying a lie, that they were someplace else. Ushnei zoymim zoymim. You need another group of two, that the second pair of Edom should be afraid that the third pair of Edom are going to come and tell them that they are liars. Hare may of our basis. So far we have 102, plus we had the Shnei Soifrim is 104, the Shnei Chazanim 106, Shnei Balidinim is 108, the Shnei Edim is 110, the Zoymimin is 112, and the Zoymimin is 114. We're still missing six. Vitanya, we learned in the Brisa, Kol Yer, every city, She'ein Ba Es Asor Advar Malolu, the following 10 things, Ein Talmud Chacham Rishar Lada B'Toychai, Talmud Chacham cannot live in such a city. What are the 10 things? Bezdin Makav Oinshin, so this Rashi says we already had, that you have a Bezdin that punishes, and Kupa Shel Tzedakah, a fund for Tzedakah, Nigvus B'Shnayim, two people collect it, U'Mischalakas B'Shloisha, and three other people, according to Rashi, divided. So you have a total now. We've just added five more people. So we are up to 119. You must have also in a city, Beis HaKnesses, Ubeis HaMerchetz, a mikveh, Ubeis HaKisei, and a bathroom, and you also have to have someone. Rashi says this is all one person, a roife. The main thing of a doctor, Rashi says, is to make a bris milah. V'omen, a person who draws blood, make his dam. V'lav lor, and a sofer to write svarim. Some gears is put in, v'tabach, a butcher, and some take it out. U'malamet tenaikis, and someone who can teach the children. So Rashi says that all these last four or five are all one person. He's doing all of these things. So it comes out we have a total of 120. Marshall learns differently than Rashi. Marshall learns that not that tzedaka was collected by two and divided by three, distributed by three, five people altogether, but rather it was collected by two, and those two plus another one distributed it. So all you have is a total of three. So we're missing three. So the three that we're missing are Roife Uman. He takes out the Vav. It's a Roife who is an Uman, a professional doctor. V'lavler and a Seifer. Umalamed and a Malamed. And they're not one person like Rashi says, but they're actually three different people. So you have a total of 120 because now we have the missing six. Two collecting tzedaka, another one to, with the two distributing tzedaka is three. The Raife Uman is four, the Lavler is five, the Malamed is six, together with 114 is 120. Rabbi Kiva, Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Amru, Af Mini Pera, city has to have different kinds of fruits, but Nashir Mini Pera, Me'irin Esainayim, they lighten up a person's eyes. Rabbi Nechemi said in the Mishnah, not 120, you have to have 230 in order to have a bezin of 23. And his reasoning is, because since Yisroi told Moshe that you should have sore asorim, so each dayan has to be over 10 people of the city, so therefore if you have 230, you have a bezin of 23, each one is over 10 members of the city. Tani, we learned in the Brisa, so Rebbe Eimer, Rebbe says not 230, as we turn to the Yud Ches Amid Aleph, but Masayim V'Shivim V'Shiva, 277. How do we get to 277? Because since we learned before that if one says Eini Yodeya, you keep on adding two, and if those two split, let's say you have 11, and 11 is 22, and one says Eini Yodeya, so you add another two. And let's say that's also split, so you have 12 at Eini Yodeya. And you go this way up till 70. So from 23 to 70 is 47. So you started out with 230, Reb Nechemia, plus you go with another 47 up to 70. You have a total of 277. Ask the Gemara Vatani Rulut Nebraisa, Rebbe Oimer, Masayim Shivim Shmoini, you need 278. You're off by one, like Hasha. HaRebbe Yehuda HaRabbanan. 277 is going up to 70. However, the Rabbanan hold at 71. So you add one more and you have 278. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in Braisa that Moshe told Yisroel, told Moshe, v'samt aleihem, you should place upon them, on Klal Yisroel, sorry alofim, for every 1,000 Jews a dayan, sorry meis for every 100 Jews, sorry chamish for every 50 Jews, v'sorry asoris for every 10 Jews a dayan. How many dayanim were there in total that were appointed? So the Gemara comes out to a cheshbon of 78,600. How do you get that? Sorry, alofen, since there were 600,000 Jews, so the sorry alofen was 1 to 1,000, so that's sheish meis, that's 600 dayanim. The sorry meis, 1 to 100, is sheishes alofen. From 600,000, if you go 1 to 100, that's 6,000. Sorry, chamishim, that's shneim asar alef, that's 12,000. Sorry, asarais, the ones who were dayanim over 10, 600,000 divided by 10 is sheshes ribui, 60,000. Nimtzu comes out, dayanim Yisrael, shivas ribui was 7,000, ushmoines alofim, and 8,000, that's 78,000, sheshmoines, and 600. Toisvis and the other rishonim asakasha tema. There's a lot missing. Why is there a lot missing? Because Taisa says if you already took out from 600,000 between the ages of 20 to 60, you took out 600 sorry alofim. So then you have left in Kal Yisrael 599,400. So then if you take sorry meis, you have 5,994 from the 599,400. So what are you telling me? You have 6,000, sorry, mayos. You only have 5,994. And if you subtract 5,994 from 599,400, you have left 593,406. If you take Sor Chamishim from that, you wind up with 11,868 instead of what the Gemara says, 12,000. And if you subtract that from the 593,406, you have left 581,538. If you take from that Sori Asoreis, you have, instead of 60,000, you have 58,153. If you add that all up together, it comes out less than 78,600. That's Tosis Kasha. So Tosis gives two terutzim. The first terutz is the Bechol HaNisarim Efshad Avi Zakenim Yisarim Ibn Samach. That we're all, the 60,000 Sori Asoreis, those were taken from between the ages of 20 and 60, the Dayanim. However, the other positions were filled by Dayanim who were over 60, or they were filled by members of the Shevet Levi who were not part of the count of the 600,000. That's the first Teretz of Tosis. The second Teretz of Tosis is that you don't start with the lower amount and build up to the higher amount, 600, 6,000, 12,000, 60,000, Sorosaurus. The opposite. You start with the 60,000. That's the pool of Dayanim. The best of the 60,000 became 12,000 Sori Chamishim. The best of those were 6,000 Sori Meis. And finally, the best of those were 600 Sori Lofim. So that comes out to the total of 78,600. You don't take 600,000 and subtract 600 and then subtract another 5,994, etc., etc. That's not the way you do it. You start with a pool of 60,000 and take always the better ones to fill the upper positions. Then the count is correct. There were 600 Sori Alofim, 6,000 Sori Meis, 12,000 Sori Chamishim, and 60,000 Sori Asoreis for a total of 78,600 for all those who have finished. This first parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, Hadrin Allah Dayane Dine Mamanis, Hadrin Allah Dine Mamanis, Hadrin Allah Dine Mamanis.